Today we're building a VHS Rave Stab Stretch from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and we're using it the way advanced drum and bass producers actually need it, as a drum-driven transition tool, not just a cool sound effect. The whole idea is to take a short rave stab, stretch it into something warped and tit-smudged, then edit it so it behaves like a fill, a break accent, and a drop pickup all at once. In a fast ENB context, that's gold, because you do not always need a giant melody or a full breakdown to create movement. Sometimes one dirty, emotional, slightly broken stab can do the job better than a whole stack of instruments. So let's think like this from the start. Hit plus aftermath. We want a strong front edge, then a smeared tail that we can cut, automate, and place like percussion. First, choose the right source. You want something short, mid-focused, and harmonically simple enough to survive stretching. A classic rave organ stab works brilliantly. A detuned minor chord hit, a synth brass stab, or a chopped chord from a jungle sample pack can all work too. The main thing is that it has a clear transient and enough character in the mids, but not too much low end. If the source is too sub-heavy, it'll fight the kick and bass later. If it's too lush, it can turn into pad territory, and that's not what we want here. If you're building the source from scratch, Ableton stock synths are perfect. Wave-eatable with a saw-based unison patch and a short amp decay is a great option. Operator also works well if you want a tighter, more synthetic hit with fast decay and strong mid-range identity. Keep it short. We're talking roughly 100 to 400 milliseconds. The stretch is going to do the heavy lifting. Now drag that stab into an audio track and turn warp on. For this effect, don't go for pristine. We want character, smear, and a bit of tape damage. Try a few warp modes. Complex Pro will usually give you a fuller, more musical smear. Beats can make the result feel chopped and rhythmic. Repitch is often the rawest and most VHS-like, because it behaves more like old tape speed shift than modern time stretching. A really smart move here is to duplicate the clip and compare warp mode side by side. In many DNB situations, repitch gives you the best old tape under pressure vibe, while Complex Pro gives you a broader, more usable tail. If you want the best of both worlds, render both and layer them later. That layered print approach can sound much more intentional than trying to force one mode to do everything. If you're using Complex Pro, keep the transient control low, around 0 to 20, and bring the formin slightly down if you want it darker and more smeared. If you're using Beats, preserve transients and try segment modes like 1/8 or 1/16 if you want the stab to break up a little more. The point is not just to stretch it. The point is to make it feel like it was dragged through a worn tape machine. Next, shape the front edge. We want the transient to read clearly against the break, but we also want the body to soften into a warp tail. A good stock chain for this is gate or drum bus, then auto filter, then saturator, then redux or echo for texture, and maybe hybrid reverb if you want a bit of room smear. Start with drum bus. Keep boom off or very low, because this effect lives in the mid-range, not the sub. Drive can sit around 5 to 15%, and transient can go up around 10 to 30% if you want the attack to punch harder. Then use auto filter to tame the top end a little. Maybe low passing somewhere between 1.5 and 5 kHz depending on how bright the stab is. You don't want it brittle, you want it present. This is where the drum mindset matters. The attack gives you a sync point against the break, and the tail fills the gaps between snare hits. That contrast is crucial in fast music. If everything sustains too long, the groove gets blurry. Now let's give it the VHS character. This is where we add in stability, degradation, and frequency limited motion. Tiny movement is the key. You are not trying to make it sound like a wobble synth. You are trying to make it feel like the audio is drifting on an old cassette. Use redux very lightly. Reduce the sample rate until the texture appears, maybe around 20 to 40% of the original feel, and use 8 to 12 bits if you want grit without completely destroying the note. Chorus ensemble can help too, but keep it subtle, because too much width too early will make the effect lose focus. A little auto filter LFO movement can also add life. Keep the resonance restrained so it doesn't whistle in the upper mids. If you want a more human, unstable feel, add a tiny bit of pitch drift using clip envelopes or a very slight modulation approach. The movement should be just enough to suggest worn tape, not enough to sound gimmicky. In this style of DNB, the delusion matters more than obvious wobble. Once the sound has character, resemble it. This is a big turning point. Print one or two bars of the processed stab to audio. This makes the sound much easier to edit like a drum element. Now you can consolidate the best moment, slice it into small pieces, Trim silence aggressively, and place slices against the grid like break chops, and this is where it stops being a chord and starts being a rhythm tool. Try placing the transient just before a snare, or letting the tail fall into the space after a ghost note. In a 174 BPM context, a stretched stab can work beautifully on the last half of bar 7 as a pickup into bar 8, or on the third beat before the drop. That little bit of asymmetry can make the whole section feel like it's leaning forward. Now layer it with break material. That's where the magic really shows up. Put the stab stretch against a chopped break, not by itself. Let the break chop answer the hit. Let the stretch tail answer the snare pickup, and maybe let a reversed slice land right before the downbeat. This kind of call and response is especially effective in rollers, jungle, and darker minimal DNB, because it creates momentum without cluttering the bass spectrum. If you're using drum rack for the break, keep the stab in its own group and process it separately. High pass it around 120 to 200 HE to leave the kick and sub clean, and let it live mostly in the 1 to 5k HE zone, where tension and presence are easiest to hear. If the break is busy, simplify the stab. If the break is sparse, you can let the stab be more rhythmic. Balance is everything. Now we turn the stag sound into an arrangement device with automation. This is the part that separates a loop from a finished transition. Automate auto filter cutoff so the stab opens gradually, maybe from around 800 HE up to 6k HZ, then snaps back when you want the phrase to resolve. Bring reverb dry slash wet up only in the last one or two beats before the transition. Increase saturator drive on the final hit if you want extra urgency. Use utility width carefully, keeping the body mostly mono and only widening the tail slightly. And do not forget volume automation. Duck the stab just before the drop so the first drum hit lands harder. A simple arrangement arc might be something like this. First a broken loop and sparse stab fragments, then a fuller stretched stab entering low and filtered, then the filter opens and the delay or reverb rises, then the tail gets chopped by the kick and snare pickup, and finally you hit hard stop or riser into the drop. That's classic DNB tension design. It keeps the ear moving without overstaying its welcome. Now let's talk mix discipline, because this effect can sound huge and still get in the way if you're not careful. Mono check it with utility. If it feels too wide, rein it in. High pass it so it stays out of the low end. If it gets harsh, try a narrow cut somewhere around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. If it clouds the snare, dip a little around 180 to 300 HE. Most of the time, the best move is to keep the core centered and let only the high texture or final tail spread out. And don't over-sidechain it. This is not a house pad. In darker DNB, subtle ducking is enough. You want the break and bassline to stay dominant, while the stab breathes around them. At this point, print variations. Make at least three versions. One version should be the cleanest, shortest, and most usable. Another should be more warped and degraded. Another should be reversed or delayed for transitions. When you do this, you've got options for intros, pre-drop tension, fill moments, breakdown punctuation, and double drop links. If you want to go even further, try a two-stage print. One version before degradation and another after heavy processing, then blend the clean transient from the first with a smeared body from the second. That often gives you a more controlled result than just piling on more effects. Another strong variation is reverse first processing. Reverse the source stab before warping it, print it, then flip it back. That can create a really nice suction-like lead-in. You can also pitch duplicate layers slightly up and down, then stagger their starts by a few milliseconds for a torn tape chorus feel. A few important reminders before you move on. Check phase if you stack a dry stab, a degraded copy, and a widened tail. Flip to mono and make sure the core still reads. Avoid making it too pretty or too perfectly tuned. In this style, a little wrongness is often what makes it work. And always leave room for the drum narrative. If the break is busy, simplify the stab. If the break is sparse, let the stab carry a bit more of the motion. So here's the takeaway. A VHS Rave stab stretch is powerful because it sits between drum edit, transition FX, and musical stab. Start with a short mid-focused source, warp it for smear or tape drift, shape the transient so it reads against the break, degrade and modulate it subtly, resample it, and then edit it like percussion. Finally, automate it into the arrangement so it becomes part of the track's motion, not just sound sitting on top. If you keep the low end clean, the transient intact, and the movement controlled, this becomes a repeatable weapon for dark rollers, jungle switch-ups, neuro-tension builders, and rave-inflected DNB intros.